We're happy to be with you again tonight, and I'm sure for most of you this has been a long day. And you don't want to hear me too long, and I don't want to hear me either. Too long. But I'm grateful for all that my eyes have seen, all that my ears have heard, all that my heart has felt since I have been present with you here these few days. Thank God, as I said this afternoon, for his blessings upon you. And God is ready to bless us. And no great task on the part of God to bless us. He wants to bless us. He lives to bless us. He can live without you blessing him, but you can't survive without him blessing you. And I thank God because he has made it possible that we might be the recipients of divine blessings. Hallelujah. And God has moved us into an area where we do not have to beg him for blessings. Praise the Lord. All we have to do is keep on walking where we're walking. And we'll find that blessings will be forthcoming. God said to Abraham when he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, God made Abraham a sevenfold promise. God told Abraham three things he wanted him to do. Three things. And if he'd do three things, he made him a sevenfold promise. Get thee out of thy father's house and away from thy kindred and out of the country into a land that I will afterward show you. Praise the Lord. Now that might seem hard to most of us. For God to tell a man to get out of his father's house, to get away from his kindred. Tell Abraham that because he did not like his father's house.
All right.
He did not tell Abraham that because he wanted to hurt Abraham where his father was concerned. But God wanted to do something with Abraham that he could not do for him in his father's house. You see, Abraham's father was an idol worshiper. And he did not worship the true and the living God. And in Abraham's day, to live in a parent's house, especially a father, in a patriarchal period, everybody that lived in that house was under the Jewish diction of that father.
Yes.
All of his sons' wives, if he had any daughters, the daughters and their husbands, and all of their children were under his Jewish diction. And he was kind of a sheik over the whole family. And what he said went.
All right.
Nobody argued with it or tried to dispute it. And since God wanted to use Abraham for a special kind of person and reveal himself unto Abram, the only thing God could tell him, get out of your father's house. Praise the Lord. And secondly, get away from your kindred. You know, I have seen part of the wisdom of God manifest in God telling Abram to get away from your kinfolks. There's many a child of God today that's having trouble trying to walk with God, carrying their kinfolks along with them. And as long as you try to carry kinfolks along, they can be a trouble to you. Well, many times God hasn't said a word to them. He spoke to you. And you're trying to carry them along your human ties and family association, causes you to think, well, because I'm saved, the Lord, I'll take them along. And God knows what He tells you sometimes, leave your family back there. Amen. There's a many a child of God sitting somewhere in God's house tonight. Amen. It could be rejoicing in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, but grieving over somebody they're trying to pull along that don't want to go. Amen. Don't want to be saved. Amen. Many are mothers' hearts broken because of some child that doesn't have a mind to be saved. And she's trying to carry that child along, and the child is doing anything it wants to do. And she's sitting up in the church of the living God grieving because the child doesn't want to walk with God. Many a father is in the same predicament. Amen. Son that doesn't even want to serve God. And sometimes God says, just let them stay where they are. You come on here and follow me. And I said, well, you mean that? Oh, yes, I mean that. Jesus told a man one time, the man had a good intention. Said to our Lord, I want to follow you. If you'll just give me time to go back home and bury my father, I'll be on. You know, Jesus told him, you let the dead bury the dead. Amen. You going to follow me? Come on now. Amen. You can't take time out trying to get dead folks, dead kin buried, and then come on. Amen. And sometimes you cannot fool around even those close relatives and walk with God. You have to make it up in your mind that you want to walk with Him and let them know. Amen. If you don't want to go, goodbye. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord. You don't want to follow Jesus Christ, goodbye. I'm on my way. And you know what God promised Abram? Lord, I didn't have this in my mind. I'm not going to preach to you long, so don't worry about it. God made Abram a sevenfold promise. I will bless thee. Hallelujah. I will bless thee. I'm quoting from the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning at verse 1, if you want to know the reference. I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt become a blessing. Praise the Lord. And it's a blessed thing to have and to know the blessings of God rest upon your life. Hallelujah. When God said, I will bless you, there's nobody that can curse what God blesses. And people may not like the fact that the hand of God rests upon you to bless you. But all you've got to know, that God has made me a blessing of His. And if He has, you don't have to worry about anybody trying to curse your blessing. Amen. God takes care of that. In your Bible, there is a man told, half prophet and half sorcerer. Looked at the children of God, and the king saw those children and said, I want you to go over there and curse those folk for me. Hallelujah. And I have to almost agree with Balak when he looked out and saw all the multitude of the tents of the children of Israel sprawling in the down there in that with the wilderness. My, his heart sank to think that here is a fire foreign people scattered out here on my borders. Not my friends. I don't know who they are. Come over here and curse these folks until they make it up their minds and get themselves together and come up and destroy me. The children of Israel didn't even know that Balak had put out somebody to curse them. But the God that had blessed them knew what was in store. Hallelujah. And you don't know what the devil himself is trying to work against you tonight. But if you know that the blessing of God rests upon your life, you don't have to lose one night's sleep about anything Satan is trying to do to your life. Hallelujah. You're in God's hand, and the blessing of God rests upon you. And nobody can make God curse what he's blessed. Hallelujah. You know the story of how Balaam said to Balak, I've got to go ask God and see what God will say. God told him, no, sir, you can't curse these folk. But he went back, and Balak made the offer for cursing them more lucrative. He went back and told God again what the man had said. And this time, God told him to go ahead. Whatever I put in your mouth, that's what you say. Praise God. And I doubt very seriously whether he thought was going to come out of his mouth what God had put in his mouth to come out. Every time he opened his mouth, instead of a curse coming out, another blessing rolled down upon the people of God. And he come to this solemn conclusion, whom the Lord is blessed, and I cannot reverse it. If God blesses them, who am I to take the blessing of God over what God has blessed? Might as well shut my mouth and go on about my business if God has blessed you. Hallelujah. If God has given you the green light, there's nobody that can turn on a stoplight. If God has told you to move forward, there's nobody that can make you back up. If God has said there shall be some money, there's nobody that's big enough to say you'll be broke. If God says yes, there's nobody that can say no. If God said let the sun shine, there's nobody that can make it rain. If God said you're going to have it, there's nobody that can keep you from having it. You know what the prophet Jeremiah said? Who is he that can say and bring it to, make it come to pass when God commandeth it not? If God said it's not going to happen, as one of the good old preachers in Indianapolis used to say, you might as well go to bed and go to sleep. If God said it won't happen, there's no need you staying awake. It's not going to happen. And if God said it's going to happen, you might as well go on to bed and go to sleep. It's going to happen because he said so. And listen to this. I will bless thee. And God is a blesser. And let me say something else to you. He doesn't need anybody else to help him bless you. If he said, I will bless you. And you don't have to form any alliances or any cliques with anybody else. If God said, I'll bless you. And I'll tell you a little something. The devil himself doesn't care too much about you until God begins to bless you. Go back in your book of Genesis and you'll pick it up again. Hallelujah. You remember that you recorded in the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis that Abraham went out to fight against 9 kings in the valley of Sheba. Only had 316 armed men to go out and fight 9 kings and their armies. And God was with him and helped him to win that battle. Glory to God. And just as soon as God helped him and blessed him and he won the battle, there's an old king sitting over there and looked at him and saw how marvelously he was blessed. The king of Sodom, a rotten king if there ever was one, for he come out of a rotten city. There's nothing good that can be said about Sodom, a city of homosexuals, and he was king of the city of homosexuals. Came to Abraham and said, I tell you what to do. Let's get ourselves together.
together. And I'll tell you, you take all the spoil and leave the rest to me. But you know what I like about God? He comes by and gets you ready for your test before you get there. Before the king of Sodom got to Abraham, God wrapped himself up in a priest's body and got himself some bread and wine from somewhere and had the first mentioned communion and served Abraham communion before he met his enemy. And not only served him communion, but said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." And because Melchizedek had met Abram before the king of Sodom, Abram was ready for the king of Sodom. And when the king of Sodom tried to make a compromise with Abram, "You take part and I'll take part," you know what Abram said? He said, "I've lifted up my hand to the Most High God. I'm not taking anything out of that pile. The God that I serve has already blessed me. And I lift my hand to the Almighty God. I don't need a shoe ratchet out of that pile. I don't need nothing out of that pile. I'm already blessed. The possessor of the heaven and the earth have already blessed me. Take all of it and go on about your business." And let me say this to you tonight, as a church of the living God, you're already blessed. You don't have to make any kind of compromise with no ungodly soul to get through here. You're already blessed. The blessings of God rest on you right now. Good God, you move from the book of Genesis to the book of Ephesians, one of the opening verses in the first chapter of Ephesians, in the third verse. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know what he's done? He's blessed us with all. Thank God. With all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what? Somebody has said that the book of Ephesians is the spiritual counterpart for the historic book of Joshua. Hallelujah. And what you find spelled out historically in Joshua is spiritually referred to in Ephesians. Somebody said that St. Paul evidently had Joshua in his mind when he wrote Ephesians. Hallelujah. If you read the opening verses in the book of Joshua, and it opens by saying to Joshua, "My servant Moses is dead. Arise and go over this Jordan." Hallelujah. And he said, "I'll give you this land for your inheritance." But there's something else I want to call to your mind. That while he said, "I'm going to give you this land for your inheritance," he turned around and told them, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread shall be your coast. I'm going to give you a gift, but if you don't put your foot on it, you won't possess it."
Great God. Did you hear me? As I told some folks the other night, God has never developed an indolent, lazy folk. All the promises are yours.
eyes. But you're going to have to clean them. You're going to have to do something about it. Amen. You just, the Lord promised, as He did. Hallelujah. But notice, you'll have to put your foot on it. And if you don't put your foot on it, you'll never have it. You can tell God all you want to what He promised. Glory to God. Amen. There's one promise that constantly I tell folk. We're always telling the Lord. Oh, you know Jesus said, I'll be with you always. Even to the end of the world. He said that. He said that. But you got something to put your foot on. And if you don't do the other, don't expect Him to be with you. Four things. Go ye therefore. Stay home to forget the promise. Go ye therefore. That's number one. You don't stay up in this church and pray for God to send folk in. Go. Go. The word of the New Testament is go. 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 Go out into the highways. Go into the houses. Compel men to come. Compel men to come. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean you take him by his collar and drag him out. No, no. But you know one thing? Salvation is such a compelling story.
All right.
That if you know how to tell it, he'll come because you told him the right story. And told him in the right way. Amen. The story is told of an old timer many years ago in the city of Chicago. Hadn't known too much about Jesus long. He was in his room. And he ran up on one passage in the New Testament. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, soberly, presently. And you know the thing that stood out? The grace of God. And he took his Bible and went back to the concordance and found every New Testament reference on grace. And he read everything he could read. By grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Grace, grace. And he read so much about grace, so much about grace, he got filled up to here.
All right.
About grace. Hallelujah. Shut his Bible and walked out of his room and started down the street. And the first man he came in contact with said, pardon me, sir, do you know grace? And the man looked at him and said, grace who? Oh, that was just opening the door. The grace of God. And for the next 30 minutes, he let that fella have it. The grace of God. The grace of God. The man said, you talk like a preacher. He said, I'm not a preacher. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And he talked to him so convincingly about the grace of God. That man said, where do you go to church? He said, just right down the street there at that storefront. He said, I'll be there tonight. That's what your Bible meant when it said, compel them to come. If salvation is not a compelling message to you, you can't compel nobody else. You're not on fire about it. How do you expect to set anybody else on fire? If you're not happy about it, how do you expect anybody else to be happy? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Compel men to come. Compel men to come. Glory to Jesus' name. Put your foot on the promises of God. Go. Secondly, teach all nations. Put your foot on what he said. Baptize it.
Yes.
Those that you teach in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Fourthly, teach them some more.
after you get him baptized, teach him some more. And if you do those four things, I'll be with you. You don't have to worry about me, but I'll be with you. That's God's promise. And that's a blessing that God has bestowed upon you. Glory to Jesus' name. You're blessed whether you believe it or not. You're blessed. And sometimes we count blessings only in the light of temporal things.
That's right.
Oh, we think we're blessed because we can go back and change a suit or change a dress. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Yes, I was blessed when I couldn't change. And there's been a time in my life I couldn't change.
Yes.
I told somebody the other day I knew what suit I was going to wear Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I knew what I was going to wear. I didn't have to go nowhere. I had it on. I had it on. Amen. Take it off sometime on Friday and take it to the cleaners and have it cleaned and put on an extra pair of pants and they were patched. But I was blessed then. Oh, yes. I was pastoring a church and had on knee patches. Amen. Heard something rip one Sunday morning in the pulpit and wouldn't even look around to find to see what ripped. Amen. Wouldn't even look around. Right in the pulpit it ripped. Hallelujah. And I was good for a, thank God for a coat long enough to cover the rip. Amen. Hallelujah. But may I say to you, I was blessed even then.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed even then. A blessed God. Too poor to have an automobile. Had to walk a mile and a half to church and a mile and a half back. One of the coldest winters I ever spent in my life in St. Louis, Missouri. Saints of God, we made silk stocking caps to go down over our ears. To go over our hat. Blessed then. Amen. So cold in that little mission, I'd have to go 45 minutes ahead of church time to start the fire and keep it burning so it'll be warm when the saints got there. Glory to God. Bless then. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless then. First automobile I had to pray. Pray if it started and pray if it didn't. Hallelujah. Didn't pray that it would start. And if it did start, pray that it wouldn't get hot. Glory. Hallelujah. Better not drive it too far in town. It get hot right in town. Have to park and let it cool off to take it on home. Right in town. And would you believe I had the nerve to get out on the road with that automobile to drive to a convention 240 miles away? Got almost to town and it stopped. I was the only man in the car and had four other sisters, bless their hearts. Hallelujah. And they had to get out and push it. And I had to sit up and guide it while they pushed it. Lord have mercy. Praise the Lord. Humiliated? Yes. Going to convention. And just so happened, it started. It started. And when it started, then, my friend, when it started, we were able to get it to go up on the parking lot of the automobile. Praise the Lord. And then we went up, pushed it up on the lot, and after we pushed it up on the lot, it had to stay there. It had to stay there until we could get it fixed and take it on back to St. Louis. But hear me, even when things were not temporally what they should be, I was blessed. I'm going to say to you now that it doesn't. You don't count your blessings by the temporal things that you have. Clothes might not be what they ought to be. House may not be what you want it to be. Automobile may not be what you want it to be. Icebox may not have in it what you want it to have. No money in the bank, but you blessed. You blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. And if you'll just stay around a while, God will let you see how blessed you are. Praise the Lord. Well, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. I will bless thee. And the second thing he says, and thou shalt become a blessing. God never blesses anybody to let the blessing stop with you. God makes you a channel through which the blessings flow. I read an article, and the article dealt with the Holy Land, and it dealt with two seas in the Holy Land, the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Gennesaret, which is all the same sea, and the Jordan River that emptied out of that sea and flowed down the country about 700 miles. And emptied into another sea called the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea. Hallelujah. There is one difference between the two seas. The sea in the north, called the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Gennesaret, that sea has an entry flowing down out of the Lebanese range of mountains and emptying into that first sea. Not only does the waters empty into that sea, but they stay there for a while and they have an exit. And they flow out down about 700 miles and empty into the second sea. The second sea has an entry and no exit. Everything that goes in stays. And you know the reason, what happens? The first sea that has an entry and an exit is full of fish. There's plenty of life in it. That's the sea that Jesus performed his miracles on. That's the sea where Peter and them toiled all night and caught nothing. But our Lord said, let down your net. And at his word, they let the net down and caught a draft of fish. That was the sea. But it had an entry in and an exit out. The same river flowed downstream and had an entry in and no exit out. There was no living thing, and there is to this day no living thing in the Dead Sea. There's no birds flying around the banks of the Dead Sea. There's no beautiful flowers around the banks of the Dead. It's just like what it's called, a salt sea, and everything around it is dead. You can either be a sea of Tiberias, through which the blessings of God flow. And you know what you'll find out? If you let the blessings flow through you, you'll always be full of blessings. Amen.
Amen.
You just become a channel through which they flow. We sing a song sometime. I don't know how much we believe it. The more you give,
the more you give.
I wonder how many of us believe that. Sometime when it gets to us, we stop it. We stop it so closely, we won't even give God his tithe back.
Praise God.
The more he gives. I'm going to stop it right here. I can't see myself. No. The more he gives, it just comes through and out. Comes through and out. It doesn't stop there. Comes through and goes out. And God keeps it coming through. You want to cut it off? Just stop it. Amen. You know, sometimes we look at some of America's rich men. And we poor folks look at those rich men and say, my God. All of that money. But I tell you something to do sometime. Just look up the name of Andrew Carnegie. Look up the name of John or Henry Ford. Look up the name of John Rockefeller. Not only see all the monies that they have, but just look how much passed through. I read an article many years ago where the Rockefeller Foundation had an output of better than $700,000 annually. Blessings flowing.
Yes.
Blessings just passing through the name and out.
Huh. Carnegie,
think of all the libraries you have across the United States that he's responsible for having here. Ford Foundation, think of how many dollars. In Indianapolis, we have one of the largest foundations in the world, the Lilly Foundation. Money, they got money right now waiting to give somebody. Amen. That's right. They have religious money. Waiting. And if religiously we can qualify for it, you can get it. It can't go to anybody else. It's just there for religious purposes. Flowing through and just keep on flowing through. But there are others that have had just as much. It stopped with him, and it became a dead sea. I will bless thee. And you know, I found out about God, even if God, sometimes God blesses me with truths that I haven't thought about. I'm crazy, preacher. It doesn't make any difference to me when God blesses me with a blessing. A new thought, preach it anywhere it comes. The result, I got some new ones coming.
All right.
You know, there's some preachers that have sermons for different occasions. Convention sermons, council sermons, Sunday morning sermons, midweek sermons. Amen. Man said to me when I said, you know, I got a message I want to preach at the annual convention. He hasn't preached it yet. They haven't called on him. But I haven't got a sermon. I haven't got a sermon nowhere. Waiting for no occasion. Preach it anywhere. And expect a new one to come. When you can become a channel through which the blessings flow, God will just continue to bless you. Whenever the blessing is cut off and it just becomes your blessing for you, you're headed for no blessing. God bless you. If I said you're blessed, and you don't have to pray, Lord bless me. Lord bless me. You're already blessed.
Yes.
The very moment you walked in Christ, you were blessed. And all you've got to do is stay in Christ, and you will be blessed.
Yes.
Hear me. Say, well, I wonder why God hasn't blessed me with thus, thus, and thus, and so. You know what I found out? God has the time to bless you.
Yes.
God doesn't bless you with everything right now when you ask for it.
No.
And I tell folk God has three answers to prayer. Three, not two. Three. Yes. No. But every time he doesn't say yes, it doesn't mean no. He could say not yet. And not yet is not no. Just wait a little while. What you're asking for, you're not ready for. Just wait a little while. And if you'll just wait, I'll send it along at the proper time. Amen. Tell you this time through. Some years ago, when we first started our church, we started it in an abandoned theater. And I wanted a church building. I'd have been glad if I could have found a church building. Lord have mercy. Half as nice as this one. But there wasn't any to be found. And people have some peculiar ideas, you know. I met folk on the street that were, I'll come and visit you in your church when you get a church building. I said, well, we have. No, that's just an abandoned theater building. I've been there to see pictures. When you get a church building, I'll be there. Amen. Praise the Lord. A church building vacated. The Methodists moved out because their members had moved into another neighborhood, and the building was for sale. And I went and looked at the building, and I got out on my knees and prayed. Lord, bless me with that building. Bless me with that building. And I guess I was selfish in my prayer. I told God, don't let another Pentecostal preacher have it, Lord. Amen. But me. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I told him. But me, Lord. And here's me sitting over here, didn't have a dime. And didn't have enough members to pay whatever the monthly note was going to be. Amen. The Lord didn't answer my prayer. I don't think he said no. He just said not yet. I didn't get that church and nobody else got it. They tore it down. The vacant lot is still there right now. Nobody else got it. But when the time came for me to get a church, God had another one. And do you know something? By the time we got ready to get that one, we had some money for a down payment and enough folk to make even a monthly payment. Oh, the Lord said, not yet. And when the time came, the man came to me telling me, I think we got a church building you'd like to have. Come over and look at it. There's $19,000 worth of interest to be paid on that building, and the saints have just got through paying. He said, you don't have to worry about that. We've already taken care of the interest. The interest is already paid for. Now, what other mountain do you have? I said, well, we just got through buying a building, and our payments for the building that we bought were just $300. And you just got through telling me you want $600 a month for the building. I said, these folks just got through paying $300. I don't know whether they're ready to go back in the debt twice as much. He said, that's already taken care of. Right. You said you paid $300? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, we rent out three rooms in the educational building of that church for $150 a month. And we rent them to the Indianapolis Public Schools. And three times 150 is $450 a month. So your folk won't have to pay $300, just put $150 with it, and you got your $600. what other mountains do you have? I said, well, they had an educational building on it. They had about 20 rooms. And I said, if you take all of the furniture, the pianos and the chairs and the desks out of all of those rooms, we'll have to furnish all of those rooms. And I don't know. He said, don't worry about that. We're leaving everything as is. We're not taking nothing out. We're leaving it just like it is. Now, what other mountain do you have? I had to scratch my head. I said, I don't think I have any more. What's keeping you from buying? I said, nothing. You had to sign the contract? I said, write it up and we'll see. And that's where we are today. Right where we are today. Hallelujah. And not only did God help us there, but listen, that same school board came back in a year or two and asked for three more rooms at the same $150 a room. Six times 150. Amen. And they paid us for 10 months and used it 9. And the result was we paid the balance on the building in 4.5 years. Oh. When God gets ready to bless you, you just remember, we're blessed. We're blessed. And God knows how to take every situation and make a blessing out of it. There was a building right next to our church that I wanted to buy because we needed some parking space. And every time we run to the owner and talk to him about buying it, he'd go up on the price. Started at 10,000, went up to 15,000. Went back next time, 20,000. Thank you, thank you. I just went back and had myself a prayer meeting. I told us, I said, Lord, we need some parking space. I'd like to have that property next door. You hear, you see this man going up $5,000 every time I ask him. Take care of it for me, Jesus. One day the phone rang. Elder Gordon, come over. Your church is on. I said, oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The church is on fire. Got over there to find out it wasn't the church on fire. The wine hose had set the building next door on fire. And the building they were asking $20,000 for was going up in smoke. I didn't get out there and shout. But when the firemen put the fire out, they were ready to sell me the lot if I just clean all the debris away. That's part of our parking lot. When God says you're blessed, when God says you're blessed, I can stand here the rest of the night and talk to you about the blessings. And you don't have to beg God if you just walk. Blessings are like walking in the rain. If you walk in the rain without an umbrella, you'll get wet.
Right.
And if you walk with God in righteousness and holiness, you'll be blessed. You don't have to beg him for them. He's already promised you. Just walk with him. And your life is already blessed and will be blessed until you see him. And then it will be eternally blessed. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.